This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So as I mentioned last week, that inshallah starting today, we'll be starting a new series. This is a collection that I found online, put together by some ulama, is the 40 hadith on the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Now, granted that before I begin, I will just say also mention that if you go online and you just try to simply put in 40 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, 40 ahadith on the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you'll find many other. There are some other collections that you'll find online that some of the ulama they put together. However, this one that I found was very interesting, and this is why I decided that inshallah we'll go through these 40 ahadith regarding different Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So today inshallah, this is the very first hadith. This is an incident that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was an issue that took place between Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum and Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got involved in the middle. And he basically solidified the position and what he thinks of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum and his status. So this is a hadith narrated by Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, "Kuntu jalisan 'inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idh aqbala Abu Bakr akhidhan bi tarfi thawbihi hatta abada 'an rukbatihi." He, Abu Darda, says that we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he was lifting one of the corner of his garments in such a manner that it was uncovering his knees. So once again, because they would wear thobes, so he was lifting one of his the side of his garment and his knees were sort of exposed. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Your companion has been engaged in a quarrel." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew Abu Bakr so well that he could just sense from Abu Bakr radiallahu an that something has happened to Abu Bakr radiallahu an. So he says, the Prophet, he says that the rawi, the narrator says, Abu Bakr came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَسَلَّمَ وَقَالَ إِنِّي كَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِبْنِ الْخَطَابِ شَيْءٌ. Something happened, Ya Rasulullah. He said salam to the Prophet. The Prophet responded and he said that there was something that happened between me and Umar al-Khattab radiallahu an, and I talked to him harshly, and then I regretted it, and then I requested him to forgive me, but he refused to forgive me. Therefore, Ya Rasulullah, I have come to ask you for help. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said three times, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكَرْ ثَلَاثًا. The narrator says, the Prophet ﷺ says that Abu Bakr, may Allah forgive you, and he said this three times. Now, Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anh comes also to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Umar al-Khattab did not come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that, Ya Rasulullah, you better tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. He said something to me, and then he wanted me to say the same thing back to him, and I refused. Look at the nature of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu an. Meanwhile, Umar ibn Khattab comes and he is regretting the situation. And he went to Abu Bakr's house as if Abu Bakr was there. They replied in the negative. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he greeted him. But Umar al-Khattab says that when I saw the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was staring me in the eyes. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ was upset about something. So he says that he went to the Prophet ﷺ, I could sense the displeasure from the face of the Prophet ﷺ till Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also came. And he got down on his knees and he said twice, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, by Allah I was unjust to him. So this is Abu Bakr saying to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, I'm the one who was in the wrong, not Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look at the response of the Prophet alayhi wasallam. He says, Allah sent me to you people. The Prophet alayhi wasallam is talking to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah sent me to you people, but you said to me, you are telling a lie. So the Prophet alayhi wasallam is referring to the early days of Mecca. That when I went to the people and I told them that I receive wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I told them that I am the Prophet of Allah, when I told them that to believe in me and to leave your deen, everyone said that you are a liar. However, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the only one who said that, Ya Rasulullah, you spoke the truth. And he is the one who assisted me with himself and his money. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says twice, won't you give up harming my companion? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is so upset at the fact. Now think about this. How much does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam love Abu Bakr? So much so that even though he is the one who may have done wrong, but the fact that he immediately regretted and he asked Umar al-Khattab to forgive him and he did not forgive him, the Prophet ﷺ is upset at this. And by the way, the Prophet ﷺ will not do this to anyone besides Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And why? I will explain next. So then he says, after that, the Rawi says, the narrator says, after that day, no one would have the audacity or the mental strength to go and make Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu upset. After this day, no one said anything to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, there are many things that to be learned from this hadith, and there are a few things I want to also talk about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So first of all is that when you look at this nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that the fact that making Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu upset is upsetting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ulama, they say that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upset, then who else is upset? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset. Now, then the ulama, they say that what about anyone who says things against Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum, how much would that make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset? It is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after this, Ali radiallahu anhu says, "Inna qad arafna fadlaka wa ma ataka Allah." This is Ali radiallahu anhu saying to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "We know very well your superiority and what Allah has given you, and we are not jealous of the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you." The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi is talking about Abu Bakr at such a high level, Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi, a great scholar of the past, he says, "Man shatama Abu Aba Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu an, faqad irtadda an dinihi." Whoever says anything about Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says anything wrong about Abu Bakr radiyallahu an, then he has given up his deen. He has turned away from his deen and he is no longer a Muslim. This is the quote of a scholar, Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi alayhi. Now, as far as the Khilafah Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is also concerned, I do want to mention about this because many ulama, they say that it was these kind of ahadith that really state that why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the perfect person in position to receive the Khilafah and to become the Khalifa. Now, as far as the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is concerned, there is a lot that is mentioned. Of course, you find different groups. Okay, you find different groups. For example, people who belong to the Shia denomination, they are very quick in saying that the Khilafah should have never ever been to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and rather the Khilafah should have always gone to Ali radiallahu anhu. And by the way, they have the same complaint regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Uthman radiallahu anhu. Now, of course, we do have to understand the story and the situation behind this. First of all, is that there are many signs indicating that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there was anyone to replace the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or to stand in his place in his absence, it would be none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There was a woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding a matter of hers. It was a personal matter. So she came to the Prophet alaihi wasallam and she asked, and she said that if I come back later on and I don't see you, who should I go to afterwards? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you don't see me, go to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That's what she said. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Also, we find that at the very latter life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got extremely sick, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted Abu Bakr to lead the salat. Now, at that time, one thing that you have to understand about Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, it is mentioned in the books about his nature and his demeanor, that he was a very soft-spoken person. He was not like Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anh, okay? A person who did not need the mic, okay? Whenever he would stand, he would get everyone's attention. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, on the other hand, he was someone who was very calm. And it is mentioned that whenever he would lead the salat, he would often cry a lot. So some of the people, they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, Ya Rasulullah, perhaps instead of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leading the salat, why don't you put Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in place? Once again, he doesn't need a mic, okay? His voice can get all the way to the back. He has a very strong, his voice is deep and so forth. And subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ said, no, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now, what happened was that it's mentioned in some books that despite all this, they felt that the Prophet ﷺ is saying this, but perhaps it might be still wise for the sake of the congregation to put Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and have him lead the salat. When the Prophet ﷺ, he heard the voice of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, had he said, okay, no problem, it would have been a different case. But what did the Prophet ﷺ say when he heard the voice of Umar al-Khattab? He said, where is Abu Bakr? The Prophet ﷺ was sort of like upset. I want Abu Bakr to lead the salat. So this is another indication of the fact that when people say that, of course, certain groups say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not in line to receive the Khilafah, this is something that is completely wrong. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away, it is mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, and I gave a whole video here from Epic Masjid about the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had passed away, but subhanAllah, there was no Salatul Janazah on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because no one felt that they could stand or be in a position that they could pray Salatul Janazah over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why every single Sahabi of themselves, they came, they read their own Salatul Janazah, and they left. There was not actually a congregation Salatul Janazah on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened was that Ali radiallahu anhu was given the task to bury Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now once again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried in Masjid Nabawi. So what happened was that Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that I have heard that the Ansar have got together in that garden. There's a garden right next to Madinatul Munawwara. And subhanAllah, there used to be a marketplace also right there. There used to be a marketplace long ago when I went back in, I think, 2013 and 14 for Hajj. I remember this was where Medina was. There was a road. There was a museum. If you crossed, there was a museum. There was a road after that. If you crossed that road, there was a marketplace. That marketplace had existed from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is where many of the laws of business, the fiqh of business, were established in that marketplace, okay? When you go to Medina today, the government has removed that marketplace. It's no longer there. They have made all of that a marble. However, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, they decided not to remove that garden, okay? That garden where the Khilafah took place. So what happened was that the Ansar, they came, they got together, and they were deciding amongst themselves who should be the next Khalifa. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came along with Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and you have to understand, these were the top two leaders of the community. So what happens is that the Prophet, they understand the magnitude, they understand the situation. The Prophet ﷺ has just departed from this dunya. So they went, and in short, what happened was that there was initially an agreement that one person from the Ansar and one person from the Muhajirun, it was Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, they would become the Khalifa. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he grabbed the hand of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said, if it's okay with all of you, I declare that this person, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, should become the next Khalifa. And they all agreed that he would become the Khalifa. However, it is even mentioned in our books, and this is where there's a slight discrepancy. It is mentioned even in our books that Ali radiallahu anhu, and there was perhaps one more Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Ali radiallahu anhu is the one who often is highlighted in this kind of situation. And so it is mentioned that Ali radiallahu anhu did not immediately give his bay'ah to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Okay? Now, Where the other group, they say that this is an indication that Ali radiallahu anhu, he was deserving of the khilafah. He understood that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is rightfully not the khalifa, and hence he did not give him his bay'ah. And this is where they are wrong. Yes, it is mentioned in our books that Ali did not give his khilafah immediately, but after some time, very soon, Ali radiallahu anhu, because he understands the value and the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came and he gave his khilafah on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So there is no discrepancy in the fact that Ali himself, and it was not as if Ali radiallahu anhu was forced or he was coerced into that kind of situation, but he understood the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he came and he did allege his khilafah to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is what happened at the time of the Khilafah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, coming back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his taqwa and his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he stood up to become the Khalifa, what did he say? He says something amazing. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inni qad wulitu alaykum wa lastu bi khayrikum. He says, O people, I have been made as your responsible person. I've been made as your wali, meaning I am the one who's in charge. I've been put in that position. وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ But I'm not better than you. And then he says, subhanAllah, he says, فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَعِينُونِي If I do something that is good, then please support me in my cause. But if I do something that is wrong, then please set me straight. This is Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And subhanAllah, today you'll find a lot of people in the position of leadership that they feel like that they can never ever be questioned. And even if they are questioned, you'll find a lot of other people coming and supporting them and standing by their side as if they can never be questioned and they can never be objection to. This is not what we learn about leadership is what we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How humble you should be as a leader. And number two is from this story of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now quickly, I want to mention some of the interesting things about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because this is a hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how much respect he had for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The very first thing is the nickname that we all know that belonged to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was As-Siddiq. There was a prophet in the Quran also referred to as a Siddiq. Which prophet? He's referred to also as Siddiq, but the one that I'm وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا Before that, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا Okay? Now, and I don't want to go into this whole discussion right now, but Idris was a Nabi. Ibrahim alayhi salam, on the other hand, it's a theological discussion, but he was a Rasul and a Nabi. Okay? He was a Rasul and a Nabi. And the rule is, every single Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi is not a Rasul. Okay, every Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi is not a Rasul. Okay, so keeping this in mind, we're talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam. What was the key connection between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Ibrahim alayhi salam, his story is very clear and evident that he openly went against and he revolted against the idea of worshiping idols. Very openly, he told his father, he told his community members, he was even thrown into the fire. We know the whole story. But a similar situation also happened in the very early life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, where he went one time to a place where there were many idols, and he went in front of an idol and he says, I want food, give me food. And of course the idol was not able to give food. He says that I'm going to break you, I'm going to do something to you. Can you protect yourself? So there was an incident where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, just like Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went in front of the idols and he says certain things, and of course the idols being idols, they were not able to react or they were not able to do anything. And this is why some of the ulama, they say that this is a similarity in terms of the word Siddiq, the similarity between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Another interesting thing about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is he is the only companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was referred to as sahib in the Quran wa fi sunnah Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the only person to be referred as a sahib in the Quran and even by the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When did this happen? it happened both times, happened during the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he says that you're going to accompany me. Allah has ordered me to make hijrah, and I'm looking for a companion. You're gonna be my companion. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, as-sahib? And he says, as-sahib. And subhanAllah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he cried so much out of joy that Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, she says that before this, I have always known people to cry. I've always known that people would cry when they are going through some kind of anxiety or pain or anguish, but I never knew that you could cry in the state of joy until I saw my father crying and how much he was crying out of joy to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refers to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as the sahib of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran when he says, إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِي صَاحِبِهِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِي صَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was in this state of anxiety that they're going to find us, at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that, remember that time when the Prophet alayhi salam said to his as-sahib. This is an honor that was given by Allah to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Also, we find that there is no one whose contributions can be paid for by let me say it this way. Allah Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they contributed immensely to their deen. But no one's contributions can be paid for except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the case of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There is no one who can pay and give back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for what he has done. And there is a clear evidence of this in the Quran, in a surah that I read in Suratul Maghrib also, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. This surah, by the way, it comes after Suratul Shams and right before Suratul Duha. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the fact that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the person that who would go and use his money to go and free slaves and emancipate them from slavery in the early days of Islam. To a point that even there was a person who came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said to him, Ya Abu Bakr, I understand if you're going and freeing a slave, but these are kind of people who are not going to support you. These are kind of people who are not going to be your aid. And at that time, even though he heard this, he kept on freeing the slaves. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed this surah, Suratul Layl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights in that, إِلَّا بْتِغَاءَ وَجِهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. This is mentioned in this surah. Another incident that happened, which was also very interesting, and I want to first, before I talk about the incident, I want to quickly draw your attention to Suratul Ghafir in the Quran. There is a story about a man. وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِّنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَ أَتَقُتُلُونَ رَجُلٌ أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. There was a man who came to Fir'aun and said, why do you want to kill this man Musa? Just because he says that my Rabb is Allah. So the Quran is saying that this person had concealed his faith. And he's coming to Fir'aun. And Fir'aun thinks that this person is on his side. So this is what's mentioned in the Quran. Now that you know what's mentioned in the Quran, listen to the story. Uqba ibn Mu'ayt was one of the enemies of Islam. It is mentioned that one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was praying and he took the remains of a camel and he put it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was close by and he came and he removed it. He removed it, and subhanAllah, at that time, he said the same exact words to these Quraysh. أَتَقُتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. You want to kill this man simply because he says that my Rabb is Allah? Now, when they saw Abu Bakr's determination and his support for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they began to beat him also. And they beat him to such an extent that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he lost his consciousness. Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was brought home. And as soon as he regained his consciousness, before he could, you know, when people, when they lose their consciousness and they wake up, they look around, where am I? What happened? They have a lot of questions. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as soon as he woke up, not once did he ask, what happened? Not once did he ask, where am I? The first thing that came out of his tongue or his mouth was, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Subhanallah. I mean, what a great and an amazing individual. How much love he had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how much love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for him. And then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's home, and he says, "I will not eat, I will not do anything till I don't go and see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." People had to, he had to be carried to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's home. There he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He cried with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at that time Ali radiallahu anhu, he was there with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is better. He says Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is better than that man who went to Fir'aun concealing his faith. Why? Because that man said that, why are you killing this man simply because he believes in Allah? He said this while concealing his faith. And Abu Bakr, on the other hand, he manifested his faith. Subhanallah. This is, Ali radiallahu anhu says, at that time I realized Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is even better than that man. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, again, another interesting thing about him is that every single person in his family, they all accepted Islam. His father, his mother, even his children. By the way, his son, I believe Abdullah, okay, he accepted Islam much later. But nonetheless, he did accept Islam. All of his children, they accepted Islam. Something interesting about the about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Also, we find Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in terms of his da'wah. By the way, if you look back at the Ashara Mubashara, you look back at the Ashara Mubashara, approximately six or seven of them, they are Ashara Mubashara. They all came to Islam through the da'wah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah. I mean, think about, when you talk about Uthman ibn Affan and his contributions, when you talk about Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, when Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu died, by the way, many people found out that he had taken off the debt of so many people, he was financially supporting so many people in Medina, and people found out all this about Abdurrahman ibn Auf after he passed away. Think about every single khair that Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu did. Who gets the reward for all of that? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because he brought him also to Islam. Another interesting thing about, you know, when it comes to serving people, you know, a lot of times, especially in this day and age, there's so much of a need to show people any good that we do. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a great example of how much ikhlas he had. It is mentioned by Abu Bakr radiallahu, by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, that one day, or he says that one day I went and I followed Abu Bakr, but he says that every day I noticed that, you know, our homes were close by to each other when we're going home. We all take the same way going back home. He says that was not the case with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu always took a different route after he would leave the masjid, after Salatul Fajr. So he says that one day I decided to go and follow Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to see what is he doing. Where does he go? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went into a home. He stayed there for a while and he came back out. And he says that I observed this for a few days. Now, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was a person who always wanted to compete with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Like one time there was a battle also when the Prophet asked Umar ibn Khattab, "What did you bring?" And he says that I brought half of everything that I have in my house. And he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "What did you bring?" He says, "I brought everything in my house to you, Ya Rasulullah." And then he says, "What have you left behind for your family?" He says, "I left Allah and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with my family." So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu always had this need that I need to compete and I need to beat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And there's nothing wrong in having this kind of a competition. The Quran says, "وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ." So he went to this lady's house. She opened the door and he asked her that, "Who are you?" And he got some details. She says that, and then Umar Khattab says, radiallahu anhu, "There's a man who comes to your home every single day." She says, "Yes." He said, "Do you know who this person is?" And she says, "I have no clue who this person is." Look at the ikhlas of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She then says that, "I am blind." She says, "I am blind." And not only that, but every single day there's a person who comes into my home. I have no idea till today who he is. But what he does is that he washes my clothes. He washes the clothes. He cleans the house. He grinds the wheat. He makes breakfast for my kids. And then he leaves. SubhanAllah. I mean, look at the serving nature of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. No one, this lady did not even know that it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. You know, SubhanAllah, these are the stories that we to wallahi listen to, and you know, we have to learn from these kind of stories. Today, SubhanAllah, we go out, we do something that is khair and good. No one knows about it. We feel this need to let everyone know that I've done something that is good. Look at the nature of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, SubhanAllah. And then also we find that, you know, at the end also of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, as I said earlier, when it came to salat, he was what? He was calm, right? He had a very soft voice. But subhanAllah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was such an amazing leader that he was a soft-spoken person. But when needed be, he would take authority in his hands. When needed be, he would stand up as a leader. And we find this after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu went in the community and said that anyone who says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, khalas, you and me on the road, outside, okay? You know, just so we say, you and me outside. This is how Umar ibn Khattab said. On the other hand, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Umar ibn Khattab, sit down. And then he recited this verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدَ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولٌ. And by the way, Umar al-Khattab says, it is as if I never heard this verse before. However, this verse was revealed before, when? Anyone know? In the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Uhud. Why? Because many Sahaba radiallahu anhum also thought that the Prophet ﷺ has passed away. And the Quran says that the Prophet ﷺ is nothing but a Rasul. Just like there are many messengers who came and they passed on, likewise the Prophet ﷺ is no different. And Allah says, أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. If he died or he is killed, this is once again in the Battle of Uhud. Either way, are you going to turn back against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he basically calmed everyone down, and he really displayed his authority in that kind of situation, and he calmed even Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in that situation. Now, the last thing I will cover is, what are some of the things that we can learn from that very first hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Abu Bakr came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he pleaded, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got upset with Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The very first thing that we learn is from that hadith, Abu Bakr and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu were two people who were very close to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very close to Prophet ﷺ. Even when the Prophet ﷺ went to Banu Nadir to seek blood money, the diya from them, there was an agreement, by the way, quickly mentioning this. There was an agreement between the Prophet ﷺ and the Jewish community that if we have to give the diya to anyone, we are going to combine our finances and we're going to give the diya together. Because the Muslims were not very rich early on in Medina. The Jewish community, on the other hand, they were very well off. So this was an agreement between the Jewish community and the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet ﷺ, he went to Banu Nadir to get their blood money, he took who? Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. This was the common nature. Even after the Battle of Badr, when the Prophet ﷺ was consulting, what should we do with the prisoners of war? Who did he ask? Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. So, knowing that these are two community leaders, and the fact that there was an argument between two community leaders shows us that there is nothing wrong if something like that even happens. You know what happens often when two community leaders voices are probably raised a little, you know, people are a little upset. SubhanAllah, people are going to start taking sides. Oh, I'm on the side of this sheikh, I'm on the side of that sheikh, and so forth. There was no sides taken by any sahaba radiallahu anhum. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear his position about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the point is, there is nothing wrong if two people of a great status in the community or anywhere else, if they get into as long as there's no open disrespect, okay? They don't cross any boundaries or limits, that's fine. But as long as if that happens, there's nothing wrong with it. We are all human beings. If some of this happens, we move on, inshallah. We also learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this kind of situation that any kind of disagreements or arguments amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum was not... whenever we find stories about Sahaba disagreeing and so forth, often people can get involved and start saying things about the Prophet, about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And these are not stories that gives us the authority to sit there and say you know, disrespectful things or things that are unnecessary about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, because the Prophet says, As-Sahabatu kulluhum adul. The Prophet says that all the Sahaba are just. So these are people who are radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa radu'an. Even if there was something that happened between two Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, it does not give us any kind of right to have any kind of blemish in our heart regarding any Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And finally, we also learned that the fact that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm the one who did something that is wrong. He did not. We learn from this also that it is absolutely fine for someone else to come and plead on someone else's behalf. If someone did something wrong to you, but then there, you see that there are consequences in place, and you go and you plead on their behalf and you admit to it, there is nothing wrong in doing that, because this shows, first of all, the humility of a person, and it shows the humbleness of a person also. So these are some things that we learn from that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, we'll finish on this. Inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to learn from these kind of stories, and we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the akhlaq and the iman, of course, of all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn from these stories of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, next week we're going to be talking about a hadith, a very lengthy hadith about Umar Khattab radiallahu anhu, inshallah, next week. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Innal muslimina wal muslimati wal mu'minina wal mu'minati wal qanitina wal qanitati was sadiqina was sadiqati was sabirina was sabirina والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.